will be worth the toil and the strife.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us, because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And good evening. Push the button, Richard.
Oops.
There we go. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma City.
Yes, yes. And welcome to December. And glad to have you guys. I know we've got a couple callers tonight, so I'll give you the program, guys, and I'll let you know when Michelle calls in.
All right. Appreciate it. We do welcome everybody this evening. We thank you for joining us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, those that are tuning in. We've been off a couple of Wednesdays. We had some different things going on with Thanksgiving holiday and just various things. So Pastor and I decided we'll just take a few weeks off and then get back into it again. And so here we are. Let's hope is alive. Maybe this is the first time you've tuned in. Maybe you're like, what is this show is about? Well, what are they talking about? Evil spirits. What are they talking about? Demons and all these things. Well, we're talking about Christians performing everyday Christianity by the power of the Holy Spirit, given to them the authority by the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, believers will do these things in my name. This process is what we call today. It's a modern-day process, a modern-day term called deliverance. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance, deliveranceusa.com is an excellent, excellent website. It is set up there for you to use. free of charge. Or if you like to read a book, Pastor Cox has put together an excellent book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. I believe we ask a $20 offering for that. That covers the cost of the book, postage, and a little bit to help support the ministry. But let them know you need that, and they'll certainly get it out to you. Well, Pastor, here we are. Seems like it's been forever since we've been live on the air, but that's all right. We know that the truths that were being played in the replays are still as much of a truth and as much of a testimony then when it was given as it is now.
That's right. I've listened to over and over to past radio shows, and a lot of them I forget what the testimonies were, and I'm just as excited as ever to hear it, like the first time. But it's great to be alive and great to be live on the show tonight. And we've got two great testimonies lined up at 9:15 and 9:35. It'll be exciting for all of us to hear what the Holy Spirit is doing and setting people free from demonic activity and their lives turned around.
Still going on. Pastor, I've been reading the book of Acts this week, and, you know, there's things in there that supernaturally happen.
Yes.
Supernaturally happen, like people speaking in new tongues, demons being cast out. It says right there that Paul got tired of that woman hollering at him with the spirit of divination. He turned at her, and he said he called her and said, come out of here now, and immediately she came out. And then they even talked to the man who was lame. The apostles talked to the man who was lame, and they gazed upon him and said, get up now in the name of Jesus. And he got up, and he'd been lame since birth and was walking and glorifying God. And those things I have yet to find as I thumb through my Bible, Pastor. I have yet to find anywhere it says those things stopped as soon as the book of Acts was over. Have you been able to find that?
No, that's right. Yeah. He gave us the power and authority to deal with these things, and we have to use it for it to work, it seems.
That's right. That's right. I think the only thing that stopped is the modern church world stopped believing they had that power and started exercising in it. But we do have it. We do have. There is nothing that was granted to the apostles of Peter and Paul and those men. There's nothing that was granted to them that was not granted to you and I and all those out here listening that are believers, that are covered in the blood, washed, repent of their sins, and operate in the power, the same power, the same Holy Spirit that operated in the book of Acts works today. We have that same access because Jesus said believers would do these things. Jesus also said, greater things than these you shall do also. And in my opinion, if you're a Christian, you're not doing these things, you're not a very well-armed Christian.
It's pretty exciting just doing the works of Jesus. I can't imagine doing greater works, but that's exactly what Jesus said. Well, you know, the testimony is coming up tonight. Luke 10:19 was applied in all those ministry sessions where Jesus said that he's given us power over all the demonic and the promise that nothing will harm us. And that's the main scripture we hang our hat on at Deliverance Ministries. It tells us who we are, that we can do actually the same works of Jesus, as John 14:12 says. And the most amazing thing for just normal Christians. But that's, he didn't say some or who or what. It said, believers shall do these works of mine. So here we are.
Well, that qualifies me.
Amen, and me too. Amazing.
Pastor, I'm sure you have a few updates since we haven't been on live for a couple weeks.
Well, of course, it was a Monday. We didn't meet due to Thanksgiving, but we had 12 cases this last Monday, and I ministered to a lady from northern Oklahoma. And it's a pretty routine case. I was not able to get the head demon up, which only works in about 1 out of 3 people. So two out of three, we do what we call basic of working the problem list that they filled out. Consequently, I didn't count them, but I'm sure I came against a good 75 or more evil spirits. Now, this lady could feel them come out. She'd nod to us when she felt it go. And so we just kept at it, worked through the list finally. And she sure looked good when she left.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is easier if you can get the head demon, because you can interrogate them, and they will let you know what's under them, their hierarchy and everything, because they have to obey in the name of Jesus. But if they don't, and you do the problem list, it's even nicer when just as nice or just as easy when they feel it coming out, because it lets you know things are working. But the bottom line is the words perform themselves, and whether they feel it or not, something is working with inside them. Something is working supernaturally inside them.
Yes, and they get their Jesus overhaul at the end of the session. We start at 5:30, you know, on Monday nights at Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City, and with an hour and 15 minutes of teaching on this subject, and then a 15-minute what we call a door-closing prayer, or closing what we've seen now, 15 doors that evil spirits can come through to torment Christians. And then I assigned a minister to each person, and we spread out over this church that we rent here in Oklahoma City, and that's we have lots of room there. I have the private room for the first time in all my years. And it's really nice, and we can really, you know, without a lot of noise or anything, go at it.
Well, I think after all these years of service that you get the privilege of the private room.
Well, when I do them at the ministry office, of course, they're private.
Yes.
There,
yes.
We have four rooms there at our office, but with 12 or more people coming, we don't have room at the ministry office. That's why we rent a church for this on Monday nights. And we've done this now 37 years, and it's usually been about a dozen people, sometimes 15, and we have ministers for each one, that ministers that have gone through our training, and then they... We spread out in that church and minister, so just it works like a charm. Praise God.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I do like the feeling and the spirit. I'm not saying the spirit wasn't there at the location when I first met you, but this new location definitely has a different feel to it. It seems to be a little bit more intimate as far as the war room goes. It's a lot smaller. I did like the fact of the old one that we did have the table set out where when we were teaching we could be in that situation, but it just seems to me that the intimacy of the upper room there, when the war room, just seems to flow a little bit there more, and it seems also at that the new church there's a little bit few more places where when they are given ministry they're not sitting right on top of each other like they were.
We've had our share of that through these 20 or 37 years, but it's nice of being able to spread out. It works either way, but it's nicer not to have someone close to you.
Yes, it does. It lets you be able to focus more on the person. You don't get the same, you know, distractions, and it's just the Lord has definitely blessed you with a good location.
Yes, I think it's the best we've had in all these decades. And there's a corporate feeling, spiritual edge there on Monday nights that we've noticed ministry just goes so nice and just bang, 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 you know, right through the steps.
Yes, it does.
And
Pastor, we do have Michelle waiting to come on. Michelle,
right.
Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, Michelle. Excited you called in. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me okay?
Can you
loud
hear
and clear
me okay?
Here.
Okay, good.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Well, Michelle, yeah, you're fine. Why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself, Michelle, and when you were born again, what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance was like, and changes you've seen, and so forth. So go right ahead.
Well, I grew up in church. And I was born again when I was a child, but I was more living on my mom's faith rather than having my own faith, and it was all by works.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really have a revelation in my heart about who I was in Christ, and therefore it caused me to be really depressed, and I had an eating disorder for 20 years, and I went to 5 treatment centers for that, and then I also drank NyQuil and popped pills a lot to where I was basically non-functional because I would be drinking NyQuil all the time. And in one day, like 4 years ago, my best friend, Patricia, prayed for me, and
yes,
and one day she prayed for me, and the Lord just knocked me down, and when I got back up, I was a new person, and now I see people healed through me and the power of God through me instantly on the streets all the time. It happens, and God just wows me, like, all the time. And it's...
Praise God.
It's crazy whenever... It used to freak me out when people would get healed instantly, but now it freaks me out when people don't get healed, because I'm so used to people getting healed instantly. So I'm just so, so thankful for the opportunity to be able to be a vessel for the Lord, because he has done everything for me, and people have been supporting me all over, and I'm just so grateful to be able to reach those for the kingdom of God.
Praise God.
Did that happen
at Deliverance Ministries, where the Lord touched you, or was that at your house?
Oh, that happened at about 4 years ago. It wasn't a deliverance ministry. It's just my best friend, she's a pastor's wife. She prayed for me, and I got delivered from shame and a bunch of other stuff. But I did go to the deliverance ministry on the Monday night deliverance ministry. And...
Mm-hmm.
I was there for like 4 hours, and I had some like soul wounds and stuff that were healed up, and it even got better, more so than I was prior. So it's just like our soul is being saved, you know, and it's just constantly renewing the mind and allowing the Holy Spirit to just lead us and yield to him so that we can be completely living in freedom and walking in.
Amen.
He has given us the hope he has already given us. And it's just an awesome, awesome thing to know that.
In I noticed
heart,
that Susan Gary, you have
the heart.
Yes, Susan Gary ministered to you, and were there some specific things that came out? Could you feel them coming out? How'd you know they were spirits?
Yeah, oh, yes. I had, like, an like an oppression on me, and it like in heaviness, like a burden. It felt like a burden. And when I got, whenever I got prayed for, I felt that burden just lift. And I know that was like an attack of the enemy trying to beat me down, you know, with just silly stuff that's not true. But God and the authority that He gives us, we took the authority and the oppression just broke in Jesus' name, which is awesome.
So awesome.
Yeah, that's a big deal. That's a big thing, and I'm just very thankful.
It's amazing, isn't it,
for all
of us to learn about this power we've been given from the cross to deal with these evil spirits and get rid of them anytime if they come and attack. So that's amazing to all of us that we do have this all power, not 50% or 75%, all power, 100% power over the evil spirits as we speak as believers, born-again Christians, as we speak in Jesus' name. So
Amen.
You had any other experience? Anything else that went with your ministry that night? Did you already have the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it's cool. The more that you speak in tongues, the more your language grows periodically. You know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it happens with everybody, but like the more you speak in tongues, the more that God will change your dialect and add more words onto your heavenly tongue. And as we speak in tongues, we have that connection with the Jesus who is interceding for us at the right hand of God, and that blood flow connection right there, it'll cause an obstruction in all of hell's gates, hallelujah. So,
yeah.
Satan, he can't understand tongues, so I think that's so cool. That's just, it's an intimate thing between the Lord and us, and that's just so cool to know. And the enemy can't thwart that at all.
Yes, what a blessing.
So,
excuse me, I was ministering to a pastor from the north part of the state a couple of years ago, and the demon went to full manifestation. Actually, they had demon. And this demon, most of them you kind of have to work on them, get them to talk. This one was very vocal. And it said at one point, speaking out of the pastor's mouth about the pastor, the demon said, when he speaks in tongues, it hurts us. And then, after that, it said, he quit speaking in tongues about 2 weeks, and we had a vacation.
Oh, wow.
The demons had a vacation because he quit speaking in tongues about 2 weeks. Well, the lesson to me was, I better be speaking in tongues more than I have been because I sure want to hurt them. And I do that a lot. In the last Monday, I worked the problem list, did basic, and I was speaking in tongues a whole lot through the deliverance as we came against the different spirits. And it does seem to jar them loose.
Amen.
So a good idea. Good idea to speak in tongues as much as you can. And, of course, as Paul said, it edifies. It's like charging a battery. And then we're praying what needs to be prayed at the time. Another asset in our walk. We don't always know what to pray in English. Do the best we can, but then we kind of run out of what to say. Well, we can go to our prayer language, our tongues, and pray, and we're praying the perfect prayer. Is that cool or what?
Yeah, it's awesome. can't even describe it, how God is just good, man. And it's just so cool.
So, have you been sharing, have you shared your experience with some of the people around you?
Yeah. I go to Beautiful Restoration and you go out on the streets and stuff. Like today, I went to 7-Eleven and there's this guy out sitting outside, and I like to reach those who are on the streets and stuff mainly, because they're broken and need to know Jesus somewhat more. I mean, you get it. Their situation is difficult for them. So I prayed for this guy named Jimmy, and he had neuropathy in his hands and his feet, and he was hurting really bad. And I was able to pray for him, and the pain left him instantly, and he was almost in tears. And I was like, "That's how much God loves you." And it's not based
Praise
on our.
God.
It's not based on our. Yeah, it's not based on our holiness. It's based on Jesus' holiness, and it's all he heals because he loves, you know. And I don't even know how to explain how awesome God is, you know. He just is. He is love. He's not what he does. He is love. He is joy. He is. It's his character, and nobody can change his character. And
yes.
I just think that's really cool.
Yeah, well, you know, we find there are a lot of physical healings that come by this type of ministry, and of course that unforgiveness is such a big door for spirits of sickness, we've learned, and that's why we work on people when they come first to clear out all the unforgiveness, forgiveness toward others, forgiveness toward themselves, and even forgiving God if they need to. Some people, you know, haven't ever been taught about demons and Satan, and so they blame God on bad things that have happened, not knowing. So occasionally we've seen that where they have to forgive God. Well, have you talked some about going through the training, Michelle?
Actually, yes, I have thought about it. I don't know. I'm getting married soon, so I've been focused on getting everything done with that and get some other things taken care of. But I really would be appreciative to be able to have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, when things get settled
go
down.
Go to the training.
After your marriage, you know, sometime it'll settle out. And it's so fulfilling. I just praise God. Somebody showed this to me, in my case, 43 years ago, and I would have missed all this excitement and fulfillment if somebody hadn't assured it to me. I would have missed it. And it's been a major part of my life at this point. Praise
oh,
God.
Yeah, it's so
I'm
cool.
On a high. You probably felt that high when you left the other night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's cool. I go to a church that we like. The presence of God is so strong and thick, and they follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not based on a schedule, and it's really, really cool to see what God does. You know what I mean? Like with the deliverance ministry, like you point out what is there, what the roots of things, and just pull them out, and the Holy Spirit does the rest, and it's so cool to allow him to do that.
Yes.
And that's what you guys do.
Even with what you've already learned, you don't have to go through all the steps to help somebody. We've learned to do these over the years to make it easier and more lasting, but when we started out, we didn't have all the steps we have today, and we just come against those spirits in Jesus' name, and we did help people. The ministry was kind of tough sometimes, and we go in the wee hours, but we still help people, or we'd quit.
Oh, yeah.
And so even with what you know now, you may have some opportunities to minister to somebody that's got a deliverance need. You'll quickly sense it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Somebody in your church or friends that have these problems, when they say, oh, I got this big fear problem, or I got this anger problem that I just can't get rid of, and that kind of thing, panic attacks or something, and you can tell them, well, there's a way out of that, and it's pretty simple. All they have to do is reach out for help. What was that?
I said take authority over all the power of the enemy. We have power to tremble on serpents and scorpions.
Amen. Well, the need is all around us, as we know. I mean, when you look at that problem list, it has like 400 problems on it. We found all those at different times to be even the represent the names of evil spirits, and that's just a drop in the bucket. That's not exhaustive, that list. But it's a start. And the need is, people have these problems everywhere around us, and they don't know what to do about it. They live with them, cope, and many of them finally go to heaven, never did get rid of their spirits. So that's our mission, is to tell it and to do it. Amen?
Amen. That's true.
Well, Michelle,
but the Holy Spirit, though, He'll let us walk it out,
Amen.
He's the strength inside of us. He's the champion inside of us. And that's so cool.
Yes. Yes, that's so true. Well, Michelle, in the remaining minute or so, what would you say to the listeners before we wind up?
What was that in the last minute or so? What is it that what?
Well, what would you say as we finish up with you here to the listeners, your final comments?
Oh, final comments. Well, anybody, thank you for having me on here, by the way. I appreciate it. But anybody that is listening and that's struggling with suicide or oppression, depression, anxiety, just know that God is with you all through everything, and we just need to acknowledge His presence, because He's already inside of us. And it says in the Word that we have all power and authority over all the power of the enemy. We have power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. And so we just have to cast down imaginations and every thought that it comes against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to obedience to Christ. And what that's saying is that the Holy Spirit lives within us, and we have the same power that rose Jesus from the dead inside of us. So nothing can come against us. Circumstances and feelings change, but Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And He is the hope that's inside of us, and He is the hope that brings hope to situations and to people, and nothing can steal that from us, because Satan is already defeated. in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Sounds like you got some preaching in you there, Michelle. That was awesome. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank
it
you.
Had to encourage others. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Sounds like she might have this figured out. What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of sounded like some preaching there.
I know. She was on fire for the Lord, and I'm just thinking about saying and talking to people in the streets and that man that she reached out to.
Yes.
I mean, there's no telling how many years he'd been living with that pain, and for someone to sense that and see that and work with them, that's quite a that's what they call an attesting miracle in the Bible. But Pastor, we have Lindsay. Lindsay, thank you for joining us this Wednesday evening.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, hi Lindsay. This is Everett, and it's Ralph up there in the Branson area. We're so excited you called in, and why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and so forth. So just go right ahead.
Okay. I'll just kind of start from the beginning. I was raised in church. I have remember my mom and dad doing like puppet shows for children's church and stuff like that. And then they kind of got into the party scene, and we fell out of church. I remember in the first grade, I was actually just reminded of this by the Holy Spirit recently. But I remember in the first grade, I won a literature paper, and I won first in state and third in nation on a literature paper. I even remember I got 8 trophies from that. And that next year, my dad killed himself. So I was 8 years old, and I was pretty much a daddy's girl.
Oh.
And so from that point, I started to have like night terrors and stuff. I started to dream a lot. And so my mom put me into church. She was going to an evangelistic center. It was called Evangelistic Church, the Evangelistic Center. And so it was like an evangelist church. And then my stepdad was going to Methodist. So they do a lot of, Methodists do a lot of serving and mission trips. So they put me into that. I went on a lot of mission trips. And before I turned 13, I was also baptized Methodist. They believe that you have to be baptized at 12. So I was baptized that way. But as soon as I hit 13, I just went full on rebellious. It was almost like immediately after I was baptized, I just was super rebellious and just didn't listen. I actually even remember, I'm sorry, were you going to say something? I actually even remember being a teenager and going to juvenile services, and I pretty much jail as a teenager, though. And before I turned 18, and I even remember grabbing a Bible and asking God to give me a conscience because I didn't think I had a conscience. And so those were my rebellious years. I ended up being pregnant at 17, and I had 2 children by a man who was very abusive. I kind of thought that I needed a tough guy for a boyfriend so he could, I guess, protect me. Well, I guess a little bit before that, because I was so rebellious, my mom was sending me off to boarding schools. So I went to 2 different boarding schools, and then I went to the Job Corps. So a lot of rejection had set in, a lot of abandonment had set in. And so then when I did come back home from Job Corps, I was 16, and I ended up getting with a boyfriend who was very abusive for 7 years. So that was my whole life. We ended up breaking up. I got away from that situation, which was really good for me and my children, because it was just a real rough situation. So I met my husband now, And we were both kind of, you know, into the party scene. We actually met at a bar. And he asked me if I, after we started dating, he asked me if I was a believer, and I said yes. And he led me more to Christ. He was like, well, maybe we should change the music we listen to, which was a big deal. And so we did. And then he said, well, maybe we should, you know, start going to church. And so we did. But my husband had gotten into some trouble in Waco, Texas. And we're from Shawnee, Oklahoma. I don't know if I said that. But, and so while we were together, we had a son. And I was pregnant with my second son. We had changed our lives. We had started going to church and changed the music we listened to. I was not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit or born again yet. I was just, you know, going with the motion. And then my husband was arrested for a felony from Waco, Texas that was nearly 10 years old. And I remember him telling me that he felt like he got into some trouble down there and that he needed to go and serve that time. And I guess I was a little stubborn or whatever. I just didn't believe him. I don't know. But he would tell me that, and he would tell me, well, it's not a slap on the hand, you know. So here we are. I'm an adult. I'm a... about 24 by this time, and he goes to prison out of nowhere. And I had remembered it was kind of when that Ocean song by Hillsong first came out, and I just started college, and I would sing that song all the time. And I feel like God spoke to me through that song, because he, you know, the song says, lead me through deep waters where my trust is without borders. And he was the sole provider. He was the one leading us to church, and I was just going to college. And I do want to add this. The Lord started to bless us whenever we followed Christ, even before I was born again. But a year before I was born again, I remember being kind of like in a really bad area. We lived in a pretty bad area. And I remember... for some reason, this was really even before we started changing our lives, but for some reason, I had to ask, or I just dropped down to my knees one day, and I said, I forgive you, Daddy. Like, I told my dad, like, he had been dead, you know, for a while, and I said that I forgive you, you know, and I remember I cried for hours and wept for hours, and it was like a little bit after that, probably 2 or 3 months. And we moved into a beautiful home that I was able to own. And it had a land with it. I feel like the Lord started to bless me even then. And a little bit later, someone said that if you don't have a good relationship with your natural father, then it's hard to have a relationship with your heavenly father. And I want to add that, you know, because that's what happened for me. Like, I had to forgive my natural dad first. And then a year later, here we are, and my husband's in prison. And he left me a scripture. It's in 1 Peter. It was the first scripture that kind of really grabbed my attention. I should have opened my Bible up before I called you guys. But it was the first scripture that actually grabbed me, you know, how we read the Bible, and the Bible really kind of reads us. Well, it was right here in 1 Peter 1. Is it 3? Blessed be the God, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And this was it right here, though. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. And that really, like, it opened me up to just really pursuing Jesus with all my heart. So my husband, he had a 10-year sentence, but we really fought that in the prayer and in prayer and in the spirit realm. And whenever I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, my husband started to do studies with Jehovah's Witness and in prison because he felt like they were the ones that were more the most diligent. And so that bothered me. It just bothered me. So he would say things like, well, I'm going to do my studies, you do your studies, and whenever I get home, we'll see which one carries out, or we'll see which, you know, who's basically, we'll see who's right, which wasn't very genuine. But so I started to dig, and I started to dig. I remember whenever I got baptized, I was born again. I had just done a fast with my church. I think it was maybe a 3-day fast, not that long, maybe not even that, maybe 24 hours. I really don't remember, but I remember it wasn't that long. And I went home, and me and my husband were arguing over the word, who was right. And, you know, by this time I was pregnant when he went to prison. So I'd already had 2 sons, and I was raising the kids by myself. I had a job, plus I was going to college, just had a lot on my plate, and plus I was just really digging and praying a lot. And I remember I don't know if it was in an unusual baptism. To me it was. But I remember exactly what happened. I told my stepdad, who he's passed away now, and I feel like God used him in this moment. I felt like it wasn't even my stepdad looking at me when he said this. But I said, my husband told me, well, you need to humble yourself. And so when I got off the phone, I told my stepdad, I said, he told me that I need to humble myself. You know, I said, what do you say to that? And then he looks at me and he stared at my soul and he said, you tell him that I could never humble myself enough before my God. And it scared me when my stepdad said that. And he just looked at me, and he looked back at the TV. And I was like, okay, you know. So I go home, and I got down on the floor, and I said, humble me, Lord, just humble me. And I could feel the power of God on top of me. And I was screaming, praise crying, God. And he showed me what he showed me. It was like a black tar that was over me, like on my back, and I don't know what it was, but it looked like, it reminded me of, like, on Spider-Man, like the Venom, the black one. It reminded me of that, and it was like on my back, and he showed me, he was ripping that off of me, and he put a white robe over me, and he covered me in that robe, and I started to just blast in tongues, and I was even scared the next day that if I answered the phone, I was going to answer the phone in tongues. I could not quit talking in tongues. I was praying in tongues the whole time.
Praise God.
So that was when I was born again. I got my timer on. There's a little more to it. Glory be to God, I was born again, and I also want to just add this in there. A little bit after I was born again, I heard somebody say this too, and I feel like it's pretty true. Is when you get born again, it's like there's a light that goes on in hell to release demons after you or something, because, you know, here's another one. The angels are rejoicing. I mean, we're born again. So I feel like I had revelation like my whole childhood. You know, like I said, when my dad passed away, I would have dreams, and the counselors and stuff would call them night terrors. And a lot of times people would say, don't worry about your dreams. Don't listen to your dreams. You know, and I'm like, you know, I didn't know to even pray over them. But nonetheless, I had this dream that I was bitten by like a python 6 times. So after I was born again, I had a new person came into my life. I had no mentor. after I was born again, I was extremely drawn to deliverance. Like, I remember the people I was watching. I just loved deliverance. I wanted to hold deliverance meetings at my house. I mean, it was just extreme. I feel like that's what I was drawn to. And so, but there was a woman that came into my life who was a lot older than me. And for 6 years, I was in bondage, and it was a witchcraft. It was witchcraft. And the Lord showed me that that was going to happen to me. But if I would have known better, like, if I feel like sometimes we can be just in a religious church or a community, and they don't think, they don't tell us, they don't warn us of these things. But
Lindsay, yeah, how was it? How was it you came to Deliverance Ministries? We only got about 5 minutes left.
This right here. Because this witchcraft. It was witchcraft. I mean, it just is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It was over me, and it was between me and another person. But what it took was a naive person that just came to the Lord, and it took a very controlling and manipulative person, and it took those two people, and it formed, I believe, a spirit of witchcraft. And when I went to that deliverance, I knew something was wrong. I could feel the mind control. I could feel, why am I thinking? I remember the Holy Spirit stopped me and had to, and actually told me that that's what it was, and stopped me in my tracks while I was walking and said, can't you see the mind control? The Holy Spirit said, Lindsay, you have to stop. And so I ended up going to, I searched deliverance. Right after I got baptized, that friendship developed. And she wasn't in church.
Did you feel the spirits come out?
Yes.
Did you feel the spirits come out, Lindsay?
What I felt was we were doing ungodly soul ties with my brothers, and I kept hearing the Holy Spirit saying her name. So when I told the person, mm-hmm. you know, hey, this is what I'm hearing, and he said, okay, well, explain the relationship, and I told him, and he said, okay, well, we're going to pray over that. So we started to pray over ungodly soul ties, and whenever he got to witchcraft, I began to melt in my chair, and I said, what is that? What is that? And he said, that's witchcraft. And I felt like I was going to pass out. I started to film, like a lot of film started coming up. I felt like I was going to throw up, but it was just a lot of saliva, a lot of film, and I was very lightheaded, like I was going to pass out. And after that, I came home also, and I kept praying those prayers over myself too. But yeah, so that's pretty much the deliverance part. Whenever I went to you guys, that's what I was getting delivered from, was that 6 years.
So how do you feel now?
Being in bondage.
How do you feel now? How do you feel now, Lindsay?
Well,
you feel better?
Yeah, I feel better. Yeah, I feel better. I feel like everything that was stolen is, I'm getting it back tenfold. Okay, after that, after even being delivered, I'm telling you, I did not remember even my award. I'm a journal. I journal revelation. I journal my dreams. I journal. I don't know how many journals I have. After the deliverance, I was journaling, and I remember thinking, why do I love to write so much? You know, why do I just love to? And the Lord brought it to my remembrance of that award that I won in the first grade. Like, even that was stolen from me. Like, that memory was stolen from me. And since the deliverance, like, it's like,
yeah,
I can think clearer. It's a mind. It was a mind thing.
Praise God.
Think clearer. I also want to say this. Before I went to the deliverance, I got delivered. It was in my sleep. And the Lord told me to get up, and it was after I confessed that something was off about this person. Something's off. I confessed that to my husband, and when I confessed that, that's when I feel like the Lord opened up my ceiling and began to talk to me very clearly. And he was talking to my heart.
Praise God. Lindsay, we just have a minute remaining. What would you say to the listeners as we finish up here?
I would say confession is the biggest thing, because I wasn't delivered until I confessed. For 6 years, I was in bondage, and I was born again. And if for some reason I decided to confess, and the only thing that I confess is something is off. And that was enough for the Lord to open up my feelings and deliver me. And then I sought for help, outside help. And I also feel like whenever you're born again and you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, what you're drawn to is what your calling. You know, what you, and not to let anyone sway you away from that. And if anybody does try to sway you away from that, are they in their word? Are they, do they have fruit? Because man will lie, but fruits will not lie. And so that's what I would say, confession. And back it up with the word of God and seek for help.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Lindsay. That's quite a testimony. Praise God, you've come a long ways. And
thank you.
It sounds like you ought to go through our training. You've got an actual inclination for it from way back, it sounds like. So think about going through the training. Well, thank you so much for calling. We're out of time. God bless
you. Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well,
she definitely told her how it was, and there's joy in her voice, and it's just a great testimony. And like at the end, as you said, confession, which that is one of the open doors, is unrepented sin. And how do we take care of unrepented sin? Well, we confess before the Lord. But if you're having any problems and you want to be set free and have the joy that you heard from these two sisters in Christ and their testimony, deliveranceusa.com, self-ministry there. Lots of excellent information. Everything that's talked about night in and night out is pretty much there on that website. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Rich at the office at 307-742-7582. If you have problems, things that can't seem to go away, it could be just a spirit nagging on you. It could be a demonic spirit there by assignment. It could be a lot of things. But you can have freedom and life abundantly. We do thank you for joining us this evening. Pastor, as always, appreciate being on here with you. And we'll see everybody next time. God bless and have a good evening.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions.